The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Greetings and happy Wednesday to you. This is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen. Thanks for being along for our adventure today. We are taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got one of those questions that you'd like to send us, you can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Today, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to tackle this question. Must we confess to be forgiven? But before we get to today's discussion, I'd like to remind you about our National Bible Conference coming up in May. It's going to be a great time. You can find out more about that by going to faithalone.org, click on events, and you can even register right there on the site. Well, let's get to today's discussion. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. This is Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. I'm here with Bob, and we're taking your questions. In the last show, we answered a question from Jen about forgiveness and fellowship forgiveness. And actually, in the November-December issue of Grace and Focus, you wrote about, must we confess to be forgiven? And really, this is going to be an ongoing project for you, right? To kind of go back to what does the Bible actually say about forgiveness? We have all kinds of traditions about it. When we think about confessing sins, how many people think about, you know, a Roman Catholic setting, and you go to those boxes that, you know, the wooden box where the priest is on the other side, and you go in and you close the door and you open up the screen and you confess your sins to a priest, and then they give you X amount of prayers to do and maybe some penance to do. People think of it like that, or maybe people think of it in terms of they're at a revival meeting, and the preachers call people to the front and to the mourner's bench and to kneel down and just to say out loud what your sins are, to confess your sins like that. That's not the Bible position on forgiveness, but the question is, well, what is the Bible position on forgiveness?
Right.
And you're looking at that.
Right. The issue that I'm kind of grappling with is there such a thing as forgiveness of our future sins? In other words, at the moment of faith, are we forgiven of all our sins, past, present, and future? Or are we simply forgiven of our past sins, and our present and future sins require 1 John 1:9. I've always held the view that there's a positional forgiveness of all sins, past, present, and future, and a fellowship type of forgiveness that is ongoing. But I'm beginning to wonder also, what is forgiveness? What is God doing when he forgives us?
Yeah, that's a good question. I asked that. I was just teaching recently at a school, and I asked that of some students. I was like, what does it mean to be forgiven? As a Christian, you know, what do you guys think? A lot of people are like, well, you stop feeling angry at a person. A lot of it was emotional for them. You know, you change your emotions from being negative to positive towards a person. We got a variety of answers, but it really showed that this is a live question. What does forgiveness actually mean?
It really does. I think the basic sense of forgiveness is that you're no longer holding some offense against the person.
Uh-huh.
It's no longer a barrier between you and them. For example, if, let's say, your spouse were to offend you in some way, do something that hurt you, and your spouse comes to you and says, I'm sorry, and so, will you forgive me? And you're like, sure. Well, what that means is you're no longer holding that against them. Now, it doesn't mean that there are no consequences. You can forgive a person and still not forget what happened and not have consequences. For example, let's say someone comes to your local church. That person works as a treasurer and they steal, let's say, $50,000.
Right.
They get caught and they return the $50,000. They go to jail or whatever. And when they get out, they want to come back to the church and be a part of the church.
Right.
Would we let them in? Sure. Why not?
Part of the church? Sure.
Would we let them be the treasurer again?
Maybe not.
Probably not. Would we make them an elder in our church? Probably not for a long time.
Right.
They'd have to establish a new reputation. Let's say that someone had some offense at mistreating children in the past.
Yeah.
Would we ever let them work with children in our church? No. In fact, churches do background checks on people before they let them work with the children.
Right.
Because they need to make sure that those people are not going to offend in that way.
And a lot of dictionaries would say, you know, forgiveness involves you are no longer under the penalty. The penalty has been removed for you. It's not really an emotional thing. It's just this penalty is not going to be exacted against you. But, you know, consequences might be different from a penalty.
Okay, well, let's say somebody commits murder.
Yeah.
And they're a believer. They're born again.
Yeah.
They confess that sin.
Yeah.
And they even confess to the family of the person they've killed, and they say, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. The family forgives them.
Yeah.
God forgives them.
Yeah.
Is there any penalty for having committed murder?
Well, the state doesn't forgive them.
Okay.
The state executes the penalty.
Yeah. God forgave David, didn't he, for killing Uriah the Hittite?
Yeah.
Were there any consequences?
There were still consequences.
His son died. And he also had a rebellion. Absalom rebelled against him. That was a consequence.
Well, so
all kinds of things.
In the Exodus generation, if I am remembering correctly, there's a verse that God says, I've forgiven you. And then now you're all going to die in the wilderness. It's like, wait a second. What good is forgiveness if you still get the penalty? But there's all these questions that we need to answer.
Well,
right?
It seems to me there's a difference between consequences and forgiveness. And we need to realize that forgiveness is a relational issue. That's what I'm suggesting. So that if God forgives you, it means you and God have a harmonious relationship at this point. It doesn't mean that God won't remember what you did and that won't have consequences in the future.
Right.
In other words, just like a church may not let you be the treasurer again or may not let you work with children, well, God may restrict some of what you can do in the future because of what you've done in the past. But on the other hand, it does mean, in terms of your relationship with God, you have a harmonious relationship and you can lay up treasure in heaven. You can be laying up a rulership with Christ in the life to come. And the same thing is true, I think, at the human level. But I don't think at the human level we forgive people of future sins, do we?
Well, that's a whole other question. Because I have questions about forgiveness, too. Because you're raising the question, can God forgive future sins?
Right.
And I would say, I don't see why not. He has foreknowledge, so why couldn't he?
Okay, then the problem comes up, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
So if we don't confess our sins, he doesn't forgive us. So in what sense, and this is what bothers me, we often tell the new believer, well, an unbeliever, if you believe in Jesus, he'll forgive all your sins, past, present, and future.
Yeah.
And then an hour later, we tell them, now 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. And you're like, wait a minute. You told me I believe I'm forgiven for everything.
Yeah.
So I don't need to confess anything. And do you know there are free grace people who actually teach that believers are never out of fellowship with God, that believers never lack forgiveness, and believers don't need to confess their sins. And in fact, confessing your sins is legalistic.
Right.
I call those people hyper grace.
You know, some people, if our future sins aren't forgiven, then it's hard to say what good being forgiven all our sins is, because that might last for 30 seconds.
Well, if you want to say this, I wouldn't have a problem. If you want to say, in light of John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, which take away is not the word for forgiveness. But okay, let's say you think that relates to forgiveness.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with saying our future sins are not a barrier to us having an eternally secure relationship with God.
Yeah.
But that's different than saying our future sins have already been forgiven by God, in the sense that we're always in fellowship with him no matter what, whether we confess them or not, whether we walk in the light or not. And so if you want to hold these two views, positional forgiveness and fellowship forgiveness, you need to see those as distinct.
And that leads me to this question. So that's perfect.
All of this, and we haven't even gotten to the question.
We haven't even gotten to the question. This is a question from Lloyd. And Lloyd says, you know, in your article, must we confess to be forgiven? That was in the November-December 2021 issue of Grace and Focus. He says that he agrees with you. However, he doesn't like the terms positional forgiveness and fellowship forgiveness. He says, why are we using non-biblical terminology instead of simple Bible terms like justification and sanctification? Where in the Bible do you find the term positional forgiveness? Nowhere. It's non-biblical. Where in the Bible do you find the term fellowship forgiveness? Nowhere. why aren't we using Bible terms? And this, so this is part of this whole question of thinking the biblical.
Yeah, and you remind me, because I got that email and I sent Lloyd a response. I think I overcomplicated the discussion in that article.
Now, in your defense, I mean, these aren't new theological terms. Dispensationalists have been talking about this for, like, you know, 120 plus years. However, they are non-biblical terms,
right.
So you need some justification for that.
Right. This is what I was taught when I came to faith through Campus Crusade for Christ.
Yeah.
And I was taught the distinction between positional forgiveness and fellowship forgiveness.
Yeah.
But I think Lloyd is right. We probably ought to just talk about forgiveness. And if we want to say there's some aspect of forgiveness that is eternally secure and there's never going to be a loss of that forgiveness.
Yeah.
Okay. But we're still calling it forgiveness.
Yeah.
And if you want to say there's some aspect of forgiveness that's related to sanctification and that requires something to get it.
Yeah.
In terms of future forgiveness.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think he's right. We should be talking about the forgiveness of sins. Now, it does help to have some labels, because then I don't have to keep repeating every paragraph a two-sentence explanation of what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, I'm leaning toward the view that forgiveness is forgiveness.
Okay, okay.
And we ought to just talk about forgiveness. You know, I remember Dr. Ryrie used to say, kind of the heart of being a good theological speaker and writer was to simplify complex issues. And what Lloyd's saying is I did the opposite.
It's a fine line to walk because, you know, people will say you're using unbiblical terminology. And they'll say, well, the Trinity's not in the Bible. And that doesn't mean the Trinity is not taught in the Bible. I think it is. But you're right. The word isn't in the Bible. But know what else isn't in the Bible? The word Bible is not in the Bible. So I don't know. Positional forgiveness, fellowship forgiveness. I mean, 1 John 1 is right there. Talks about fellowship and then it talks about forgiveness. So it's like, you know, they're linked. But I'm looking forward to where you end up on this study. Any idea of how long it's going to take?
I'm hoping no more than a few years.
Yeah. All right, Lloyd, thank you for listening. Thanks for sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org. And if you'd like to help us out, whatever app you use to listen to this podcast, go to that app and give us a review. Give us a 5-star review, write something down, and that really helps us in the rankings. We really appreciate you guys, and see you soon.
See you soon.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the best way to leave a church. You're going to want to join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.